When you think about the book of Joshua, you think of the walls of Jericho immediately. Well, during my preparation for this morning, I hit a wall. So I took my text back to see how Joshua prepared himself when he hit a wall, the walls of Jericho. I wanted to see what he did when faced with a daunting task, and learn from this how to prepare myself for the daunting task of this morning. A task that I do not take lightly, to preach the word of God to you all. And by God's grace, I hope to share the lessons from this study with you. So I took my text back to the passage we read this morning. It's only a short passage, so I'll read it again to keep it fresh. And keep your Bibles open throughout, because we'll be referring to it throughout the sermon. So let's read it again, Joshua 5:13. When Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, a man was standing before him with his drawn sword in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" And he said, "No, but I am the commander of the army of the Lord. Now I have come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped, and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" And the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. Now Jericho was shut up inside and outside because of the people of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand with its king and mighty men of valor." God bless the reading of his word again this morning. Now, for those of you who do not know, because a lot of new faces, or those that need a refresher, Joshua, who we've just read about in this passage this morning, was a great and brave man. He was one of the 12 spies sent by Moses, his predecessor, into Canaan. He is a proven warrior and leader, beating the Amalekites at Rephidim. The waters parted for him at the Jordan River, much as they did with Moses at the Red Sea. And at this point of the passage, he is the leader of God's people, the Israelites, and is about to lead them into battle against the people of Jericho and, of course, their mighty walls. So this passage takes us to a point just before the said battle. And we can see here that Joshua had left his camp. It says on the first line, he was by Jericho now. Close enough to see it, but clearly not in immediate danger. We can assume he left the camp to clear his head, to get a good view of the task in hand the following day, and probably just to take some time away and think of the strategy for this mammoth undertaking. When I'm faced with a challenge that seems too great in my life, I often do the same. If targets are not being hit at work, or we have to do some restructuring of the teams, or when people are constantly coming to me asking endless questions, I take just 20 minutes out. I walk down the riverfront, there, here in Newport. I spend time looking at the water, and it relaxes me. On other times of day, I look at the mud banks, and they relax me a lot less. But I'm there. I just need time away to press the reset button, compose my thoughts, spend time in prayer, and then clarity begins to come back. Or I find that I've been away too long and someone else has dealt with the problems. But I think this is what Joshua was doing at the beginning of our reading today. And who can blame him? Joshua is the leader of God's people, and Jericho was probably his toughest task to date. Jericho was the door of Canaan, and Joshua, being a faithful man, knew God's promise. We can read the promise in Genesis 17:8, "And I will give to you and to your offspring after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God." So Joshua knew Jericho had to be faced. He could not go around Jericho. He could not ignore the problem of Jericho. Joshua knew that God had preordained the land to his people. But it was a tough task. We read in the passage, Jericho was shut up inside and outside because of the people of Israel. Joshua and the people of Israel's reputation preceded them. Jericho knew of Israel's coming and was prepared. This made the task all the more terrifying, I am sure. This was Joshua's concern at the time of this reading we've done this morning. Joshua did not know how to get through those walls. He had no modern weapons of warfare like we have today. He must have been looking at Jericho, these great walls, and thinking, "What am I going to do tomorrow? How can I prepare for this, such a mighty task?" Joshua left the camp. He was tormented, wondering how he was going to tackle the next day. What is the plan for battle? So what did Joshua do? Well, we read, he lifted up his eyes and looked. He lifted up his eyes and he looked. We see this phrase throughout the Bible. Most memorably, when our Lord teaches the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. After his death, the rich man, suffering the torment in Hades, lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, "Father, Abraham, have mercy on me." Luke 16:23. Or the psalm we read at the beginning of today, Psalm 121. "I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth." In the book of Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar said that the Lord lifted up my eyes to heaven, and my reason returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honoured him who lives forever. Daniel 4:34. And of course, our Lord Jesus lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you." John 17:1. When we find Joshua at the beginning of our reading, we see his desire to please God. He knows he has to take on the challenge. We see his concern on how to achieve it. And we see his action to pray, to plead with God for help. Joshua, being a man of God, knew that he could not do anything without God. When you face trials in your life, let me ask you, what do you do? Do you lift up your eyes to heaven? Or do you try and tackle them in your own strength? Here in our passage that we read this morning, we have the greatest military leader of his time, a mighty warrior, but a man that knew his own limitations, a man that knew God. So Joshua looks up and we read, "Behold, a man was standing before him with his drawn sword in his hand." And Joshua challenges him, "Are you for us?" Joshua is a warrior, isn't he? So he is immediately focused on the fact that the man in front of him has a sword drawn. So he asks, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" He's preparing how to deal with this immediate situation. Is this a scout from Jericho? An enemy? Someone who's going to try and stop me doing God's will? We know that Joshua was chosen by God. We read this in Joshua 1. Joshua clearly wants the best for the people of God. He wants nothing to prevent God's glory. So even when faced with the Lord himself, his desire to please God shines through at this point with his challenge. Are you for us, or are you through for our adversaries? Yet the man says neither. He says, no, but I am the commander of the army of the Lord. Now I have come. He is saying to Joshua, you do not know who you're talking to. You have asked the wrong question, Joshua. You are now under orders. I am the Lord, I have come, and I am in charge. As Christians, we're under orders, aren't we? And our commander knows the battle far better than we do. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He has lived in this world, tempted as we are, but has won the fight on our behalf on that cross at Calvary. Despite such temptations, he is sinless, isn't he? A perfect sacrifice. But I know some people have difficulty with this image of God. A bearer of arms appears with his sword drawn. People say, I do not like the Old Testament God. It is him, it is most ruthless. The God of the New Testament seems far nicer. But let me remind those people this morning, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Hebrews 13:8. People like a God that heals the sick, that cares for the needy, that helps you prosper in life. People do not like a God with a sword. They do not like a God who can destroy his enemies. But this issue is not with God. This issue is with us. You see, we fail to understand the depth of our own sin. We paint a picture that God is loving in our context, tolerant of our sin. But know this morning, whether we like it or not, God is righteous, God is just. And if we realise how sinful we really are and how much we anger him, you would understand totally why he comes bearing a sword. Yet in his anger, we see great mercy. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Throughout the Old Testament, we see examples of God's patience and his love. For his anger is but for a moment, and his favour is for a lifetime. Psalm 30. He gave the people of Jericho ample opportunity to welcome God into their lives. News of God's work in the acts of the people of Israel had spread, and a remnant was saved. Famously, Rahab and her family. Yet Jericho still locked themselves away behind their walls. Jericho was shut up inside and outside. They did not want God in their lives. So we read on. Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped. Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped. Joshua now realises who this man in front of him is. Immediately we see he is not concerned with the brandished sword anymore. He is flat on his face. Is that something you would do if someone who is a threat stood before you with a sword? You would lie face down. I don't think so. I'd be keeping my eyes on them, or I'd run away. Joshua now realises that this is God. Joshua is now humbled. He worships the Lord, and he awaits his instruction. Joshua realises who is standing before him. the Alpha Omega, the creator of the world, our very salvation. He is the commander of the legions of angels and is in control. And we know it is the Lord because he accepts Joshua's worship. If he was simply an angel, he would have rebuked him straight away. We see this in Revelations 19:10 with John. Then I fell down at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, you must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Revelations 19:10. Angels dare not take the worship that is due to God. Read the book of Revelation to see what happens to the last one who said, fall down and worship me. You'll see why. Joshua is face to face with God at this very point of our reading. The pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. And Joshua unashamedly asks the question, what does my Lord say to his servant? What does my Lord say to his servant? A question that may seem obvious when reading, but to me it is a very, very scary question. A very scary question if taken seriously. Let me ask you this morning, are you prepared to ask the Lord what he wants you to do? Or where he wants you to go? I hope you can see how this is such a tough question. Because his response may not be in your plans. He may ask you to do something that you do not want to do. Would you dare to ask the question? And would you follow his answer? We'll see that Joshua shows obedience. He trusts the Lord and knows the answers to his anxieties will soon come. Can you do the same this morning? So the Lord replies, take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy. Sounds trivial under the circumstances, doesn't it? You are in the audience of the all-knowing Creator God, about to strategize a mighty battle the next day. Yet the Lord is asking you to take your shoes off. We see this same command asked to Moses in Exodus, and there are obvious parallels there. And despite the cultural significance of removing shoes before entering a place of worship, I believe the Lord is doing two things here. First, he is creating distance, making it clear that he is different and not here on your summons. Matthew Henry suggests, note in all approaches to God, we ought to be deeply affected with the infinite distance there is between us and God. I think the Lord is saying, you must keep your distance and be humbled by it. We are mere sinful creatures. The Lord and only the Lord has allowed us to draw near. But whilst on earth, whilst in our sin, we cannot go so near as to pry. 1 Corinthians, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Our conscience must be satisfied, but not our curiosity. And care must be taken that familiarity does not breed contempt. The Lord makes a distinction here. He is slowing Joshua down, for he is God, and he must be approached as such. Ecclesiastes 5:2, be not rash with your mouth, nor let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God, for God is in heaven and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. Our Lord says, take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy. Because he is God in heaven and we are on earth. I also believe the Lord is testing Joshua's faith. The great commander, our Lord, says, take your shoes off. Would you think that's relevant if he asked you? I'm concerned about fighting a battle. Can you help? Yes. Take off your shoes. But our Lord is not trying to confuse the situation here. He is asking Joshua to be faithful in the small things. He says himself in Luke 16:10, one who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. Are you prepared to do the small things for him? Are you prepared to do your bit? To witness in your life circles? To invite your neighbour into church, your work colleague or school friend into this building next Sunday? Spurgeon says, you were not saved that you might go to heaven alone. You were saved that you might take others with you. It's beautiful. What God is saying to Joshua here is, have total faith in me. Even in the little things. And everything will fall into place. The Lord has asked Joshua to do this very small act, to humble himself before him. He is saying, take off your sandals so I can take control. Simple obedience leads to simple blessing. So we read on. See, I have given Jericho into your hand, with its king and mighty men of valour. So we have seen in this small passage today Joshua's desire to please God. We see his concerns. We see his anxieties. We see his action under such circumstances. To pray. To plead with God for help. We have read about the Lord coming. And now we have this long awaited answer. See, I have given Jericho into your hand with its king and mighty men of valour. What a perfect answer amidst such anxiety. Blessed assurance, isn't it? Blessed assurance. The Lord is saying to Joshua, do not be worried about your plans. Your previous successes in battle can't help you. This task is too great for you. I am, and I have given you this battle. And our gracious God does the same for us, doesn't he? Without him, we are facing damnation. We are facing an eternity in hell. There is nothing we can do to secure our own salvation. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Ephesians 2, verses 8. Joshua's success at Jericho, that would lead him into the promised land, was not based on his knowledge or his experience, but on obedience and faith. And this to me is wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. It makes our lives as Christians an awful lot easier. We do not have to worry about what we have done in the past. The stains on our very souls. Because God is in control. God has paid the price for our sin. He has washed us clean with his blood at Golgotha. So we are now as white as snow. He won the battle over death on the cross of Calvary. And he says to you this morning, however unworthy you feel, whatever anxiety or sin you are carrying, he is saying, trust me. I have paid the ransom for all who believe. Come to me, all who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And that is not all. To all those who repent and have faith in him, he has given you his righteousness. And to the one who does not work but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. Romans 4:5. Let us not forget that. I was recently reminded myself in a conference. On Judgment Day, to all those who repent and believe, the Father will look upon us, knowing that Christ has paid the price for our sin. And he will see the righteousness of Christ on us. Isn't that amazing? He will look on you and see the righteousness of the Lord and Commander Joshua saw before him on this day we read about this morning. The Lord says, I am in command. So I plead with you today to move forward in obedience. Come to Christ and ask him to be your personal saviour, to be your mediator, to lead you in righteousness through barriers in life. For there is one God and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, 1 Timothy 2:5. So let's remind ourselves where we are with Joshua in this passage. It is the day before the battle was about to commence. Joshua is having some time out, some me time, to think of what to do. Realising his weaknesses, he lifts up his eyes and comes to the Lord. He presents himself and informs Joshua, I have given Jericho into your hand. Now this interests me, because at that point in time, nothing was done from Joshua's perspective. He would have heard what the Lord had said to him and then looked across to see the walls of Jericho still standing, as mighty as they were before the Lord came. The Lord has given the city to him, yet he can still see the arduous task ahead. But to God, it was complete. Why? Because he's in control. He knows what's going to happen. God is giving Joshua here in this command, I have given Jericho into your hand, his perspective of the world. To show Joshua that he is all-knowing. He is giving Joshua total assertion. Yet Joshua still has to step out in faith. He has to lead his army to those walls. If you're not a Christian here this morning, I ask you to do the same. To step out, not literally, but to say, I am with Jesus. Repent and say, I have faith in his birth, death and resurrection. If you are a Christian this morning, and you're looking at the challenges we have as a church, the people of Peel God has put before us, we may think the task is impossible. Wales has fallen too deep. The country has fallen too deep. This Christmas we must have handed out thousands of flyers for our carol service in the shopping centre and throughout Peel and Newport. And although we received some blessing and we're very grateful for the ones and twos the Lord brings to us, we still had empty seats. I don't know about you, but I was slightly disappointed. I was expecting a full house. But God says to us, do not give up, for the reason that Jesus Christ has already won. Our Lord God says, see, I have given you Jericho the promised land, into your hands. Finally, just notice the comma after the word see. This is a very, very important comma. It's not see, it's see. See. The Lord was looking at the same thing Joshua was. He was looking at the walls of Jericho. But to Joshua, Jericho is still an impregnable force, an impregnable fortress. To us living in the world can be too great a challenge. But if you're not a Christian this morning, the hardness of your own heart and the thoughts of your wrongdoings, your conscience grinding at you, are too hard for you to bring them to the cross. Yet our Lord says, see, I have given it to you. What amazing grace. Our Lord sees what is going on in your life. He knows your heart. He knows what sins you all bear. You may come to church regularly. You may sing the hymns. And publicly you tick all the boxes. But you cannot hide your sin from him. You know you can't hide your sin from him. That's why you feel guilty. He sees what you see. He knows what you know. This is an important comma. Yet despite this, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. 1 Peter 2:24. What amazing grace. The task is so huge, which is why there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. But we need to trust God to guide us. This morning, I want to ask you what hindrances are stopping you from going forward in your life with God. What fears do you have that are stopping you entering this promised land? If you are a believer here this morning, Christ has paid the price for your sin. He has washed you with his precious, precious blood. Jesus Christ sees what you see, your struggles and your pains, and says, I have paid the price. I have given it into your hand. Like Joshua, step out in faith and obedience. Whether you are a Christian or not, Satan invades your thinking at times. He is ruthless in his condemnation. He tells you the walls are too big. You can't get over them. Yet however hard it gets, remember, you are not alone in this battle. As Paul says to Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life, because he's given it into your hand. Turn your problems over to God. Not just a quick prayer, but set aside some time as Joshua did. Sit down and look up. And whatever the outcome, give God the glory. We'll sing our final hymn. Thine